I'm Jerry Bain from EDUCAUSE. Institutions develop services, technologies, and infrastructures for researchers, but the researchers tend to be left to their own devices when conducting research in the field. What can be done to better support data collection using mobile devices, storing data safely and securely while in transit, and syncing that data through your mobile device with infrastructure back home? To discuss this, I interviewed Wayne Johnston, the head of research enterprise and scholarly communication at the University of Guelph, when we met at the Coalition for Networked Information's Spring 2015 meeting. Here's that conversation.
You did an earlier presentation a few years ago at CNI on some of your initial research into mobile technology support for field research. First, what exactly are we talking about? And second, what are some of those early findings?
I guess I'll start by talking a little bit about the team that I referred to, Research Enterprise and Scholarly Communication. It was established at the library arising out of an organizational renewal that happened in 2009, where traditionally the library is very focused on teaching and learning on campus, and we were sort of in that process redefining ourselves and looking for new ways to be of value to the campus. So we established this team as a way to support the research activity on campus. So one of the early things that I envisioned when we embarked on this was support for field research. I just thought it was an intriguing new area, because when faculty are on campus, obviously there's a lot of support for them in terms of infrastructure and services and so on, but we really leave them to their own devices when they head out into the field. And there are a lot of disciplines that feature pretty prominently some form of field research. University of Guelph, it's two of its major areas are agriculture and veterinary science. Mm-hmm. And so for agriculture, you've got lots of researchers who are going locally into their fields to do things like measuring crop growth and yield. But then in a lot of other disciplines, you've got people traveling all over the world to do research. Mm-hmm. And so looking at what their practice was in terms of collecting data, managing data when they're away from campus, ensuring that it's safely and securely stored, what happens with the data when they return to campus. So a full range of research initially on what happens with faculty when mm-hmm. they venture out into the field. And increasingly a focus on data collection itself using mobile technology.
Are these apps they're using? I mean, how are you collecting this stuff?
Well, if we're going back a couple of years, basically what I was doing was a lot of literature research and then interviewing researchers about their practice. Mm-hmm. And so the interviewers or the researchers that I was talking to at that time were really not using mobile technology. They were, almost every one of them was using paper mm-hmm. when they ventured out into the field.
Okay.
And so that's, first of all, incredibly vulnerable to loss and damage. It also involves redundancy in terms of basically double data entry. You capture on paper, then you transcribe into the computer. Mm-hmm. As part of the transcription process, you're introducing errors in your data. Mm-hmm. So that was the practice that I identified as sort of the norm. Mm-hmm. And so more recently, I've been more involved with helping researchers to transition from paper-based data collection to using mobile technology.
Okay.
So I maybe branch off into one of my favorite stories.
Sure, about, please do.
The paper-based data collection was a political science researcher who was working in Mexico and had purchased a truck that he was driving around to various locations collecting data. And he was collecting his data in paper. So he had stacks and stacks of paper records in this truck, which was then stolen. So he didn't care about losing the truck, but he cared very deeply about losing the data. And eventually the police located his truck, and the data was still in the truck. They offered to sell it back to the researcher, which he was happy to do so that he could recover his data. And actually, I gave my session at the end of the day yesterday, and one of the people in attendance had, I think, even a more compelling story. It was someone who had spent, I'm not sure how long, in India collecting data in paper, and he had all of his, you know, one copy of all of his data in a briefcase, and he was returning home and lost the briefcase and all of his data. He at that point decided to just completely abandon the research project that he had been working on for years and switch to a different direction because he just couldn't face recovering all that data.
Wow.
So clearly a lot of vulnerability when you're relying on paper.
Yeah.
I'd also interviewed researchers who were doing things like water quality research. So they were going out in boats collecting samples and recording their data in paper. But of course, the paper's getting wet. Even though they tried to use water-resilient paper, they'd get back to the research station and find that their recording, that their data was illegible. So again, lots of reasons why moving to mobile technology made sense.
Where does the mobile aspect come into this?
So basically, through my research, both the interviews and the review of literature and review of technologies, I came up with a particular approach that I thought would make sense for our campus, and that's using a suite of tools based on Open Data Kit, ODK. Essentially, the way the tools work is that a researcher will define their data collection instrument in an Excel spreadsheet. That definition of the instrument is converted to XML, which is deployed as an app on Android devices. It also is deployed as a browser-based utility on all other types of devices. And then it can be used by researchers in the field with or without internet connectivity. So if they don't have connectivity at the time, it'll store any submissions on their device until they're connected and then automatically get uploaded to the server. Mm-hmm. So we have the suite of tools installed on a server on our campus, run by the library, so that, again, every submission is automatically safely and securely stored on one of our own servers, backed up and replicated and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more security in terms of that, but also it's immediately available for analysis rather than having to wait considerable amount of time for transcribing of the data.
Right. Are you being prescriptive? Are you offering these tools to people at your university? Are you talking about it for other universities as well? I mean, is there opportunity here for other people who may not be this far along to get involved?
Well, I should mention that my research was partially supported by a research grant from the Canadian Association of Research Libraries.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that grant enabled me to do was travel to Bolivia. It was actually a year ago today that I was in Bolivia. So one of the things I wanted to do was work with researchers in a developing country to see what challenges they faced.
Right.
So I can tell you a little bit about the different researchers and research projects that I've supported, but the plan for my research in this area is to identify all tools that could be useful to researchers and to develop a knowledge base, which then I would make available. So on the one hand, I've got a set of tools that I think make sense for use on our campus,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also trying to develop a broader familiarity with other options that are available so that I can recommend the best fit for different projects. And certainly that information would be available to anyone who has interest.
That's
in,
great.
In it.
Can you tell me a little bit about the ODK tools that you're using for this project?
ODK, open source suite of tools from the University of Washington. It's the core of an ecosystem of open source tools. Initially, the development was supported by Google, and ODK is an Android-based system. So it's an actual app that you can download for Android devices. It has different modules for building data collection tools, collecting data, aggregating, and analyzing the data. So it's very dependent on something called XSLForm, which provides a capability for researchers to define their data collection instrument in a very simple Excel spreadsheet. So you define things like what data elements do you want, what type what data type will each of those elements be. So, for example, you could specify text, numeric, as well as things like GPS, so that simply by defining it as GPS, it'll capture the GPS coordinates of wherever you are at the time of data collection, photographs, audio, video, as well as it incorporates conditional logic so that you can make certain parts of the instrument dependent on a value in a previous data element. You can do repeating of sections of the data elements. So, for example, if you're another project that I've been working with is working with a third-year biology class where they're going out into the field and identifying plants in a certain plot of land. So you could repeat information about the plant multiple times for every plant that you right. want to identify. So that sort of functionality.
So you can sort of design it to just kind of capture what you're looking yeah. for, whether it's comparative, whether there's a small equation being run or anything like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and it can be everything from...
whatever Excel does, basically, right?
Yeah. And so. It can be anything from surveys to yeah. any other kind of
That's
data
useful.
That you're
That's
collection.
Great.
And then another part of the picture is FormHub. So FormHub is a platform for... it's an alternative to ODK aggregate. And what it does is gives you a place to store your data. You can share your data collection instruments with other researchers if you choose. So the FormHub, if you use it, becomes sort of the host for the data that's being collected. So you would download from FormHub. But I will say that when I talk about FormHub, it becomes a bit of a cautionary tale about open source software. All of this is open source software. Uh-huh. And I'm a big fan of open source software, but FormHub is not a very happy story simply because FormHub was out of Columbia University and they had waning support for ongoing support for the initiative. The developers ended up leaving that project at Columbia and essentially starting up a competitive mm-hmm. system. FormHub was widely adopted internationally. It's a very strong user community, very active peer support network of users, but unfortunately it's stagnant. They were having serious problems with even maintaining the traffic flow in terms of wow. data, and I think they've addressed that, but to my knowledge, there's no plans to further develop the software.
So it just kind of is an abandoned sort
yeah.
of
yeah.
project.
So it's wow. unfortunate. It's a bit of a dead end. So we have our own install of FormHub mm-hmm. because it is a strong product, but we're currently looking at the alternatives.
Are there any other modules you want to talk about?
Well, Enkidu I talked a little bit about, but Enkidu mm-hmm. basically interprets the XML for browser-based
right.
use. But again, it still accommodates offline collection of data.
Right.
Again, stored on the device and then uploaded automatically when connectivity is made.
So let's talk about some of your research you've done, some of the different cases.
Can sure.
you give us a story of using some of this?
I mentioned this research being supported by the Canadian Association of Research Libraries, which funded a trip to Bolivia. So I did go to Bolivia and worked with three different sites, one in La Paz, one in Cochabamba, and one in Santa Cruz. So in La Paz, I was working with it was part of a huge research project mm-hmm. Where they were doing surveys of 4,000 to 5,000 households in the poorer regions of Bolivia, looking at child health and so on. And it was a multi-year research project, and they had just finished one round of these surveys, and it was all paper-based. And so wow. when I was there, they had 5 tons of paper in their offices, all from the survey collection.
How do you port that over? That just seems like...
Well, I mean, in their case, it was a huge investment to transcribe all of this paper.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you find data anomalies and you have to do forensics, you're going through all these papers, just think how many mistakes that are going to be made. So they were very enthusiastic about making the move to mobile. The next one was in Cochabamba, and it was just an agricultural worker, and she would go out into the field and record plant growth and yield in her crops, and she recognized there would be great efficiencies in moving that to mobile. So actually I spent a day with her and developed the app while I was there to enable her to do that. So that was a good experience. And then the third one in Santa Cruz was, I would say, the least successful experience. And it was partly because I was working with a group of researchers, about 10 researchers in Santa Cruz, and none of them spoke any English at all. And my Spanish is not strong, but they assured me that one of their staff was going to be there who was bilingual, and he would provide translation services. Of course, I show up that morning, and this translator wasn't there. Santa Cruz ended up having torrential rains and flooding. The whole city was in disarray. It was also happened to be the day that FormHub crashed because of the load, so I was unable to demonstrate that, and I had to do the whole thing in Spanish.
This sounds like it's like, you know, pylon of problems.
Yeah. So in the end, you know, I still managed to talk to them about the potential.
How long were you there?
At that particular site, just for the one day.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then back at Guelph, there was a few projects that I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
One was this project in Cambodia. It's part of a international research program of the major lake in Cambodia that provides virtually all fish to the population of Cambodia. And the fish stocks are declining because of environmental degradation and climate change and so on. So the team from Guelph were going there to interview fishers in this lake to talk about their fishing activity, the depletion of the fish. They were using the GPS capabilities to pinpoint where people were going to do their fishing, that sort of thing. They had five people doing the interviews with, I forget exactly how many people they ended up interviewing, but and then there was a grad student who was sort of overseeing the whole thing, and she told me that by using the mobile technologies, she saved herself a month of just transcription time.
Wow.
And she was able to do statistical analysis right then and there in the field rather than waiting until she got back to campus. So
that's
that
amazing.
Was good.
Well, it sounds like, you know, the sort of main thrust of all of this, overarching all of this, is like getting rid of busy work that's just wasted labor.
Absolutely.
What would your recommendation be to institutions that are interested in incorporating mobile research, mobility into their research, field research?
Well, I think there's huge potential. I will say that there are some researchers that I spoke to who either said, I'm a technophobe and I just don't think I'd have any comfort with going that direction, and other people saying, I would have a really hard time giving up paper just because, you know, technology always lets me down. And so just having that confidence and trust.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of researchers I talked to were extremely enthusiastic. And on our campus, it's got a lot of traction. I, for example, was invited to speak to something called the Research Services Council, which is all of the associate deans of research for every college on campus. And they were very enthusiastic. That's already starting to produce results. I'm working currently with a couple of new projects. One is from psychology, a research project on mindfulness. And basically what they're doing is getting respondents to have the app on their device at all times, and they capture their emotional state at any particular point in time. They do one of a set of mindfulness exercises and then indicate their emotional state after the exercise.
Right.
And so that's actually using other capabilities that I haven't talked much about, which is incorporation of audio and video.
Multimedia,
so these mindfulness exercises are essentially audio recordings that they listen to And then it sort of leads them through sort of a meditation exercise, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then they comment on the impact it's had on their emotional state.
That's a cool, cool study. Do you want to talk a little bit about the multimedia aspect of it?
Sure. Well, it's fairly straightforward. The only thing, there are limitations on, for example, audio. You can use a WAV file or an MP3 file. Mm-hmm. So there's limitations on the formats of the audio that can be used. The only other consideration is that when you initially put the app on your device, it's going to be slower if it has to download the media files. But that's just the first time. Once it's on the device, then it's on the device and doesn't impact performance. But yeah, very easy to do.
That's cool. I guess one of the main things would be like storage. You need to have enough storage, especially if you're doing HD video. And,
Yeah. So far, we've tested video to confirm that it works, but we haven't actually used video. So,
Tablets and mobile devices tend to be a little bit smaller in terms of storage. So that's the only thing I would.
Yeah. The other project maybe I'll just finish with is the last one that we're currently working with, and that's with a Native community in First Nations community in Ontario, Saugeen Ojibwe Nation. They have a partnership with our university whereby anytime there's a project proposed for traditional Native land, they do an environmental impact assessment, and there are three faculty sponsored by the Saugeen Ojibwe Nation at the University of Guelph. One is in biology, one's environmental science, and one is computer science. So they do a lot of the research on the environmental impact assessment. We're working with them to incorporate the mobile technologies, especially around fishing activity in Georgian Bay. And so they're looking at native fishing as well as recreational fishing. And they're very interested in just incorporating images in the mobile apps so that when somebody's catching a fish, they can look at images of the fish so more easily identify the species that they've caught and that sort of thing. So that's another interesting project.
Multifaceted. Well, thank you for your time and all the information.
Thank you,
Wayne Johnston is the head of research enterprise and scholarly communication at the University of Guelph.